come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? Okay. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8a. Let's do it again. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8a. Good job. Hey. Okay, now here is the one we're going to do all the time now, okay? This is the one that Joy introduced last week, okay? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it again, ready? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Are you going to make it known? Yeah!
I don't know how many of you know the song. It started out as a poem and turned into a song, The Touch of the Master's Hand. If you want to, you can pick up one of these that's out there. I had a whole stack of them and thought I should share it. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but oh no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased. And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. So if you want to pick up a copy of that, there should be out there, and I just love that. I have it actually hanging on my wall. Bill has sung it a number of times, and it is the touch of the master's hand in our life. It is the touch of the master's hand. I'm curious, how many of you, since you started the study on Daniel, or even thought about starting the study on Daniel, feel that you have a little more spiritual warfare going on in your life? Amen. Anybody else feel that same way? We were talking about it as we were in prayer tonight. And just how those things come up, and that spiritual warfare that's constant, and we really need to pay attention to what the Lord's telling us and put on our full armor, because there's something in Daniel that God wants to share with us, and we need to be alert to it. We need to know what God has for us in this book, and we're going to get into it in just a moment. So, Father, as we just get into this book right now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would anoint, Lord, that you, Father, would speak through me. Lord, that it would be only your words and your words alone. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us and that you have prepared the way. Father, that you are at work in our land. You are at work in this world, Lord. This world is going down quick. Lord Jesus, keep our eyes on you and make us women who readily share the gospel with people, Lord, that your coming might come as soon as possible, Lord. And so we thank you for this study in Jesus' name. Amen. And so last week, we talked about the book of Daniel having three aspects to it. The one, the revelation of the sovereignty of God. The revelation of the sovereignty of God. The depth and riches of his ways are higher than our ways. And number two, the sinfulness and the rebellion of mankind. The sinfulness and the rebellion of mankind. It's obvious. Someone is not here tonight, one of our facilitators, because her neighbor has threw something through two of her windows. The rebellion and the sinfulness of mankind. It's going on all around us, and it's getting worse, isn't it? There are a lot of things going on. By the way, I want to draw your attention. There are a couple of bills that you need to be aware of. We want to be dealing with AB 1400 and SB 866. So you can look those up later, but write those numbers down so that you can check them out. And they are things that, as the Lord leads you, we need to talk to our senators, we need to talk to our assemblymen, and we need to tell them exactly what we think. So please do it. So Daniel spoke and wrote things that he didn't understand. And then number three, spiritual warfare. This book is filled with spiritual warfare. Daniel teaches us how to walk through that spiritual warfare. Daniel spoke a thing and wrote things that he had no idea what he was writing about, and God told him that this is not for you to understand. This is for a time that will be later. God tells us, so we saw prophecy begins in Genesis, and it ends in Revelation. God tells us these things beforehand. Remember in John 14:29, they told us beforehand that when they happen, so that when they happen, God told us ahead of time that so that when these things happen, we will believe. That is John 14:29. That's the gist of John 14:29, and you can look it up for yourself and get the whole word there. John 16:4, but these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. That is prophecy. That is what this book is filled with. It is filled with prophecy. It is filled with so many other things as well. We looked at the cover of our book, and it says that Daniel was a man of purpose, a man of prayer, and a man of prophecy. So I'm excited about getting into this book, as I was last week, even more so now, because I've been going through the spiritual warfare. And I just know that God is doing something really great. And when my voice starts shaking, I know that God is saying something. So you know what? God has something special for you guys tonight that he didn't have for the women in the morning. And I don't know what it is, but I know that God has a word for you tonight. So just pay attention. And when he speaks it to you, take it in. So I bet you've already discovered some of the things as you studied. You realized that there were things in there that you knew nothing about. Did anybody find that? And you went through things that the maps and all of the charts in there. I'm excited about this book, the story of a of a young man of about 14 years old that spent his life in Babylon. He spent his whole life in Babylon and still walked with the Lord. His whole life. He never went back home. He spent his whole life. He invested his whole life because God had called him to a ministry of the preservation of the remnant of the people of God. He had called him to the ministry of the preservation of the remnant of God. And so it is, God has said that he will always have a remnant. He will always have a remnant. And of this, I'm so ahead of my notes already. Of this story, I don't know how many men went to Babylon, but our story is of four. Of all the men that went, we have a story about four men who continued to walk with God. Only four. And so we remember that how easy it is for us to just let ourselves go and not be what God has called us to be. So we begin with chapter one, and I hope that you did some study of the kings in chapter one. Did any of you go into back into the kings? Okay, so no. All right, but let me tell you about those kings. Let me tell you about those kings, because those kings were pretty interesting, because Judah and Israel was just like any other country. There was the good king, there was the bad king, the good king, the bad king, and the bad king, and the bad king, and the good king, and the bad king. And it went all through the time since they began having a king. Well, this we take back as far as Josiah. Josiah was a good king, and he followed the ways of the Lord. And he put things in order, and he followed the ways of the Lord. And then came his second son. He put his second son in charge and enthroned him, Jehoahaz. He put him on the throne because Jehoahaz followed the way of the Lord. But Jehoahaz only spent 3 months on the throne. They were attacked by Egypt, and when Egypt came in, they dethroned him, and they put his other brother, Eliakim, in charge and put him as the king and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is the one that we're speaking about in here. It was in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim did not walk with the Lord. He didn't follow the ways of the Torah. He led the people in the wrong directions. He didn't go the way that he should go. In fact, it says in Jeremiah 22:18, there's the prophecy of Jehoiakim's death. You'll want to read that on your own and find out what happens to a man that goes that far away and leads other people away. And in Jeremiah 29:10, Jeremiah prophesied what was going on in this first chapter. So let's just look at Jeremiah 29:10. And you guys are all familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. Right? We all have that memorized, but let's look at it's talking about them bringing, God bringing them back to Jeremiah 29:10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will answer, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Verse 13, and you will seek me, and you will find me when? When you search for me with all your heart, being all in. With all your heart, I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from the captivity. I will gather you from all of the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away, from which I caused you to be carried away. God caused them to be carried away. We are always in God's hands if we're following after him. He said that I have caused you to be carried away. God is with us in the middle of our afflictions. I know you learned a lot about Babylon, looking at the map of Babylon and the chart of the world empires and the history of Israel as you went on in that book. As we haven't even started reading in the chapter yet, but in Isaiah 39, and we're going to go to Isaiah 39, starting with verse 1, Isaiah 39, starting with verse 1, and it tells exactly what Hezekiah had done and exactly what the beginning of this chapter of Daniel is about. And so in chapter 39 of the book of Isaiah, starting with verse 1, the king of Babylon had sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. He had heard that Hezekiah was sick. And so as he sent the letters through his son, and had the son who was the son of the king of Babylon, as he took him, as Hezekiah was so impressed with the fact that they were buttering him up, really, that he showed him everything. He showed him all of the kingdom. His pride got the better of him. His pride got in the way. King Hezekiah was a good king, but he let his pride get in the way. And Hezekiah was pleased with them, and he showed them the house of his, verse 2, of his treasures, the silver, gold, spices, precious ointment, all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. And so Isaiah said, Hezekiah, what are you doing? What did you do? What did you show him? And Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And Hezekiah said, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them, including the treasures that were in the house of God. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah in verse 5 of 39 of Isaiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all this is in your house, when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And so Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. Why would he say that? Because Isaiah had told him that it wouldn't be in your time, it would be in your son's time. And so Hezekiah said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. And he let his son take the repercussions of what he had done. And he thought it was a good thing. So here's where we find ourselves in the beginning of Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house, Hezekiah's house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. He took the things that belonged to, in God's house, and put it into his God's house. Why? Because of the sin of Jehoiakim. Because of the sin of the people of Judah. Because they had stopped doing the things that they knew that the Lord wanted them to do. And so then the king instructed Ashpenaz. So I just want you to know, first of all, that this book is a book of judgment. Make no mistake, this is a book of judgment. What will happen to the people that God brings out of their land? And yet, in the middle of that, God is with them at every moment. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In our trials, in our tribulations, God is with us. He is there with us. He will never leave us. He is in the midst with us. And so, then the king instructed Ashpenaz. Now, Ashpenaz's name means a horse nose. So you know how I love to look up the names. And this little horse nose was the one that was in charge there. And so I can't even imagine what this guy must have looked like. The master of his eunuchs, Nebuchadnezzar's eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men, in whom there was no blemish and good-looking, gifted in all wisdom. Gifted in all wisdom. If we have wisdom from the Lord, it is a gift. He will gift them in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. And so, what do we have in these verses right here? So, here's what's happening here. They took the best of the best. They separated them from their families. They taught them. They indoctrinated them in the cultures of Babylon. They seduced them. They mixed them in with the upper echelon. They mixed them in with high society. They gave them good jobs. They gave them good clothing. They gave them nice things. And seduce them. They change their names to erase any connection with their former lives or their former culture or their former gods or their former people. They wanted to assimilate them. They wanted to brainwash them. They wanted to seduce them so that they would become Babylonians. Is this sounding a little familiar? And to what is going on in our world today, they gave them everything this world has to offer. Everything this world has to offer. And so I've always looked at them as being captured, and yet what really happened was that they were seduced by Nebuchadnezzar. Seduced, which is so much more sinister than captivity. But just like in the garden, God had a plan in Babylon. God would keep his remnant of people. God said, I will always have a remnant of people. I will always have a remnant of people. Daniel is a book that records the judgment of God upon his people for the purpose of disciplining. If we are not disciplined, we are not his. God must discipline us. We must be disciplined children. Just as you disciplined your children, just as your parents disciplined you, because you were part of the family. The book of Judges says that they did what was right in their own eyes, and God brought them into a place of judgment, into a place of discipline to correct them. God is still in control. Notice that God is still in control. We are all right where we are supposed to be right now. You are in the house that you are supposed to be in. You're in the city that you're supposed to be in. You are in the area that you are supposed to be in, physically. My question is, are we where we need to be like Daniel? Do we have that Daniel heart? Do we trust in God's provision? Are we a Daniel who will see purposed in his heart to not defile himself? Do we purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves? So here we have the story of four of those men who were brought from Judah, and the story of their ministry of preservation of God's people, the remnant that God would provide. Now, when we talk about the names that were given to these men, because they purposed it, Breathe and relax and just take a moment to think about what God is saying right here. These new names that were given, because they purposed in their hearts to not defile themselves, they couldn't even speak the names that they were given. Why? Because they were names of other gods. And so what did Daniel do? I've heard it taught that Nebuchadnezzar gave him ridiculous names, crazy names, names that meant nothing. But the Nebuchadnezzar did not do that. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, the god Bel, Belshazzar. They couldn't call Daniel Belshazzar because they would be speaking another god's name. So Daniel put a T in it. Belteshazzar. It means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Belteshazzar. So that they could call each other by their new names. And I don't know, and also with these new names that were changed, they also on Abednego, it was originally Abednebo with a B. Abednebo. Nebo was the god. So they changed the letter, Abednego, put a G there, so that they could call each other by the names that they were given. I don't know. Maybe they said it was their accent and they couldn't quite say the name properly. I don't know. But that's what they did so that they would be able to not sin against God. They were 900 miles from home. 900 miles from home. The Chaldeans were the upper aristocracy of the Babylonians. The upper aristocracy of the Babylonians. They were well educated. They were the upper class. They were social elite. They would have been ridiculed. The ways of the Jews, just like are happening today, they would attempt to deconstruct their faith. They would attempt to deconstruct their faith. I've told you before, I think, that there's a young man that Bill and I talk about it. Bill talks to him. So he was a pastor. And he has now deconstructed his faith and wants nothing to do with God. And his wife is still a Christian. And he is excited to tell us that he has his daughter is no longer a believer, that he has led her in deconstructing her faith. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes on Judgment Day. Maybe he will come back and he will see what damage he's done. Better that a millstone be hung around his neck than hurt any of these little ones. That's what was happening here in Babylon, deconstructing their faith. Intellectual seduction is one of the schemes of the enemy. Intellectual seduction is one of the schemes of the enemy. It all has to do with the mind. Paul in Ephesians 6 calls it the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where? In heavenly places. It is spiritual in nature. It is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare that we're in the midst of, ladies, right now. We wonder, I read things and I wonder, how in the world can these people do these things? How could they even think of doing that thing? Why in the world wasn't somebody coming alongside that person and helping them out? Because there is spiritual warfare going on. And we need to be busy about the things that God has for us. So put on the whole armor of God. Put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and have your feet shod with the good news of the gospel and leave it on. Do not take it off. Put it on. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand in the midst of the things that are coming. How often do we see kids who love the Lord and they went off to college and came back as unbelievers? Why? Because someone else decided to deconstruct the faith. Even Christian colleges, secular Christian colleges, kids come out of it and they don't believe what they believed when they went in because of the seduction of the mind. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Going to Babylon was like going to the big city, the flashy things, all kinds of beautiful things to see. And you know, the hanging gardens in Babylon. Do a study on Babylon and see what happens. You'll see it was a beautiful place to be. It was amazing. So much to see, so much to do. Oh, it was so gorgeous. So much to take your attention off of the things that really matter. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says again, states that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The nature of spiritual warfare all refers to the mind, to the intellect. They were pressured to compromise. Pressured to compromise. Have you been pressured to compromise? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And what happens when you compromise just a little bit? Before you know it, you're compromising a little bit more. And then you compromise a little bit more. And then you come out of college not believing. Because of compromise. Don't be fooled. Don't let yourself be fooled. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed, where? In his heart. Daniel made a decision beforehand. Daniel made a decision beforehand. He purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." The word here used for heart means undivided heart, and it means free from rocks. An undivided heart that is free from rocks, free from those hard places, free from the stone of unforgiveness, free from the stone of bitterness, free from those things that would cause us to not walk with the Lord. We are to guard our hearts with all, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Guard your heart. Don't allow things to come in there. Purpose in your heart not to defile, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor. God brought Daniel into Babylon, and God brought Daniel into favor with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." He would lose his head on it. So Daniel said to the steward, he went to the chief eunuch. The chief eunuch said, not doing it. And then he went to the steward. And he goes to the steward and he said, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and all the guys, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Now notice that number 10, because that number 10 in those 10 days is going to show up at the end of this chapter when they were 10 times better than all the other men. 10 times better than all the other men. And so test us for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat, water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacy. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So our trust is in the Lord. And we know that we have set our heart, we have purposed in our heart not to sin against God. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So I don't know here. He purposed in his heart, afflictions end. Even though Daniel would live the rest of his life out in Babylon, Daniel was in Babylon, but he was not of Babylon. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And we are not to be of this world. Like I said, afflictions pass, and God preserves a remnant through them. 2 Corinthians 4:17 speaks of the light afflictions that are for a moment, but the purpose is eternal. Light afflictions, any afflictions are for a moment, but the results of them, the purpose of them is eternal. Daniel served as prophet for 69 years. He was welcomed into the king's house. He grew up in Babylon, was promoted through the years. He was public life in a heathen nation. Remember, he was governmental position. Nothing had been said bad about him. Of course, he wouldn't write anything bad about himself, but I'm sure there were some things that were not so good about him. He was a person, so there were some things that probably he might have been ashamed of. I don't know. He is not in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. His name is not mentioned in the Hall of Faith. Why is that? It actually is mentioned in the Hall of Faith, but it's not mentioned by name. It is mentioned by stopping the mouths of lions. And so there he is. Why not have the food? Why not have the food? Because in Babylon, they ate pork. They ate meat that was offered to idols. All of their stuff was unclean. Wine was not prohibited for them to have, but it was prohibited for them to have strong drink and to become drunk. So rather than give way to an opportunity for that to happen, they refused to drink the wine. But I want you to notice in their refusing to do it, he didn't just come up against it. Notice that God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, which we've already said. And in verse 11, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. So when he spoke to the steward, he spoke kindly. He spoke quietly. He spoke calmly. And God gave him favor. I wonder what would happen if I tried this 10-day thing with vegetables and water. Does anybody want to join me? You don't have to tell me you're going to do it. We could do it in private. But I'm concerned because I do not need to add any fat. And it says that they were fatter in their flesh. And I do not need to be fatter in my flesh. I would rather lose some of it, and I would hope that the vegetables and the water would do that. But I think they just looked really good, and their countenance was really great, and so they looked fatter. They weren't actually fatter. They were more fit. There you go. That's how that one works. So it really doesn't make sense that they would look fatter. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, in verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them. He brought them to Babylon. God gave them favor. God gave them a gift of knowledge, a gift of skill in all literature, a gift of wisdom, And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel would be referred to as a magi. He was one of the wise guys, really. And he would have been referred to as a magi. And so, now, at the end of the days, when the king had said, so at the end of the 3 years, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. Now, verse 20, I want you to circle all the alls. Well, I do that in my Bible, all the alls I circle. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. And thus Daniel continued into the first year of King Cyrus. So he has been with Ashpenaz, or Horse Nose, for, I don't know, why would someone do that? Can you imagine your baby coming out and you say, oh yeah, that's a horse nose if I ever saw one. Yeah, let's name him that. Yeah, Okay, they've been with Ashpenaz for 3 years. For 3 years, Ashpenaz, they've been under submission to him and obeying his direction. Under submission to Ashpenaz and obeying his direction. How could they have done that? Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, those gifts from God, and God gets the glory, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so they come in before the king, and among them all, none was found like these four boys who God had called to the ministry of preserving a remnant of God's people. No one was found like that because God called them in there for that purpose. When you are brought to a place that you were not just really excited about being there, will you purpose in your heart to not defile yourself and find yourself in a place of ministry for the preserving of God's people? In all matters of all wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all the realm. God always honors obedience. Always. Always honors obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And these men are preserving God's people in a foreign land. We are doing our ministry and preserving God's people in a foreign land. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. I don't know about you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you've gone before us and that you are making a difference in our lives. I pray, Father, as these ladies get into their small groups, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up as they pray for one another, as they encourage one another, Lord, as they cry together, as they laugh together, Lord, as they hold each other up. Let us all purpose in our hearts not to be defiled, Lord, to purpose in our hearts not to be defiled. We thank you, Lord, for doing it. We thank you for your presence with us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing.